This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In last week's reading, Jesus fed the multitude of 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. All the people there gathered ate their fill. All were satisfied. There were more leftovers than they had begun with. It was a great miracle. And as a result of that miracle, now the people desire to make Jesus their king by force. I mean, who wouldn't want a king who eliminated hunger? Who eliminated hunger with very little increase in taxation? If we can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, what could we do in the world? We all want full bellies, right? So now, let's make Jesus our king. Even if he doesn't want to be, we'll do it. But did you see what happened? Jesus perceived that this was their desire, and he left them and went to a mountain by himself. He would not let them make him king. He flees from this sinful desire. The reason is, as he himself will testify to Pontius Pilate, is that his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus does not have an army who will fight for him. The closest he gets is St. Peter, who, on the night he was betrayed, pulled out his sword and cut off an ear. And what does Jesus do when that happens? He stops Peter. He heals the man who was injured. And he tells them, "I am not leading a rebellion." In fact, the only time that a sword is used around Jesus by one of his disciples is then. Jesus does not want to be king. The first person, if you can even say person, who offers him a kingship in this world is Satan during the tempting in the wilderness. We'll hear about that shortly. But even then, as always, Jesus refuses an earthly kingship. Dear Christians, there are those today who seek to make Jesus our king by force. In fact, there is an ever-increasing movement to do so. It's been going on for a while. That's why at every presidential election since I've been alive, the candidates have all told you that they are a Christian. Joe Biden is a Catholic. Donald Trump claimed to be a Christian. Obama too. Bush W. Old Bush. Even Bill Clinton claimed to be a Methodist. They all took Christ by force for themselves to convince us that by voting for them, we were supporting Jesus. They tell you that under their leadership, the United States of America will become the kingdom of God here on earth. And it's not just American rulers that do this. It happens all over the world. Putin says the same thing in Russian. Zelensky, though not a Christian, says the same thing in Ukraine, even as he closes down some Christian churches. Netanyahu says the same in Israel. And the Palestinians want a religious kingdom themselves. Even now, so-called religious nationalists want to merge the church and the state into one entity so that we can take Jesus by force and make him our king. But they do so with one caveat. Jesus isn't visibly here. We don't see him anywhere, do we? So these charlatans are happy to rule over you in his place. And they lead riots to come to power in the name of Jesus often, maybe in the Capitol building, maybe in the streets of Lincoln to support BLM. Some of these nationalists have even gained followings in our own church body, carefully parsing words to promote hatred of neighbor over the love of Christ, before being excommunicated and removed from our fellowship. You will meet Christian nationalists in this world. They are almost unavoidable today. You will meet those who seek to take Jesus by force and make him their king. But don't be fooled. Don't believe their lies that echo the words of Satan as he tempted Christ in the wilderness, telling you that all the nations of the world can be yours if you will only bow down to them. Don't believe them, for Jesus will not be made a king here on earth. He will withdraw by himself before he will allow himself to be crowned over a worldly kingdom that will fall on the last day. So what else does Jesus do in our gospel lesson? He sends the disciples away from all this political nonsense also. They climb into a boat and they begin to row across the Sea of Galilee, away from those obsessed with politics. Their journey is not easy. The winds and the waves are against them. It takes every ounce of strength they have to make it into the middle of the lake, 3 or 4 miles away. And then Jesus shows them who he is, God. He shows them that he already has authority over this world, so that everything therein must obey him, even the waves upon which he walks. He goes out into the sea to the disciples in the tiny boat, far from the political intrigue. Jesus comes to them there, and they are, according to St. John, glad to receive him there. That's why, dear friends in Christ, the words that describe a boat are also the words that describe the parts of a church building. That's why the roofs of so many sanctuaries look like a boat turned upside down, because here we are in the church, the ark of the holy Christian church. Here, within Christ's care, the disciples gather. You are in the boat, if you will, of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. The wind and the waves blow outside, all around you, especially this year in an election year. But here, in the sanctuary of this tiny vessel, Christ comes to us, already with all authority in heaven and on earth, and we are glad to take him in. He comes to be present through his word and sacraments. He comes with the forgiveness he won on Good Friday. He comes to strengthen you for your journey through this world. And we are glad that he is here. And we know that soon we will arrive at our destination, the place of peace and joy beyond all telling. The place where Christ really will be our King. We leave behind all the allures of this fallen world, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead, where Jesus will be our King and rule us forever, where we will see him always with our own eyes, where we will eat from the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. There, with Jesus, that is our true fatherland. It is not here. We even sing that in the hymn, "I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home." That's where this ship is headed, to be with Jesus. Now, one final admonition that I really want you to hear what I'm saying. I am not telling you that you should not vote in elections. I'm not saying it's wrong to hang a flag up in your front yard or to sing the national anthem before the Super Bowl. I'm not saying you shouldn't care about who's elected to be our ruler, as if it's okay if it's an Islamic or a Mormon person who rules over us. But here in this world, do not give in to the Christian nationalist lie that you can make Jesus your King here on earth. You won't. He won't let you. Repent of this belief. Repent resolutely. Rather than being a Christian nationalist, be a Christian. A Christian who practices good stewardship, minding his home, his family, his possessions, and his country, while longing and looking forward to the kingdom that is to come. Live looking forward to that kingdom, the kingdom for which you pray in the Lord's Prayer, the true kingdom of Christ that is not of this fallen world, the kingdom that only the ark of the church can bring you into. Trust in Jesus alone. Not in the ideologies that repackage the lies of Satan into Christian-sounding terms. The last words of our gospel lesson tell us what they all were looking for. They were seeking Jesus. So too do we. In the name of Jesus, Amen. That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it.
God's blessings on your day.